Hello, world, and welcome tonight, or today, or this morning, whatever you're watching from, to Faith Believers Faith Connection broadcast. Hallelujah! Where I'm excited to bring you this broadcast. My name is Patrick Nyaga, with Missions for Christ Ministries, United States, and welcome. God bless you, and thank you for joining in. I just want to dive into this subject, which I believe is very vitally important. I have been talking a little bit, or I started a new series on the book of Revelation, but today I am talking about something different, which is actually the force of faith. But just before we begin the program on this particular subject on the force of faith, I want to clarify something or say something here. As I was talking on the book of Revelation, again, this was the book that was revealed by Apostle John, who was the last apostle of the Lamb there at the island of Patmos. The revelation was about the Lord Jesus Christ, his glory, and then he was instructed by God to write on the seven churches. Now, in this revelation, I explained what the book means, or what the word revelation means. And I say revelation means apocrypha, or let me use the word apocrypha, which means uncovering, disclosure. It indicates the meaning of revelation. It uncovers that had been hidden and discloses events that would happen long after it was written. Now, having said that and having introduced that, I want to jump in here and say that, yes, Jesus Christ is coming, but there is still work to be done on the earth. Well, you say, how do I know that? Because people say no one knows the time or season of his coming. Well, we look at Matthew chapter 24, and it talks about all the events of the end time, most of them. And of course, there are some that are taking place, there are some that have taken place, but there is one event, there is something that has not quite happened. And most people dispute this, refute this, and they want to force the coming of the Lord as if they know. And yes, he is very close. He's very close. He can come right now. But I want to also say this, based on the scripture and the word of God, there is a glory of God that has not been experienced on the earth, and the devil is not going to force the coming of the Lord. Can I say that again? The devil will not force the coming of the Lord. The devil is a liar, and he was a liar from the beginning. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, he is not coming at the timing of a man, at the timing of the devil. He is coming by only the Lord who knows his timing. There is a glory of the Lord that needs to hit the earth. Let me explain why. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming for a church without speck or wrinkle. Right now, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the government of God on the earth, is fractured. What do you mean by it is fractured? This is what I mean. There are people believing in the same body, believing different things, and not only that, it's more disunited. There is no unity, and the body is sleeping. When I talk about faith, and I'm going to be getting into this, I'm talking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not faith in your church, not faith in your denomination, not faith in your pastor, not faith in your favorite prophet or preacher. I'm talking about the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the body of Christ, and this, let me tell you something about God. The devil messed up from the beginning. God created the world so that man can enjoy, okay? And man was created last after God created everything there in the book of Genesis. And then God said, it is all good. And then he said, let us create. Not as he said, let us. The Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost were there from the beginning. Let us create man in our own image. And so God created man in his own image. After a while, he said, well, man should not live by himself. Let me create him a helper. So he created him a wife. Glory to God. Thank God for the wives, right? and then they have family. God want men and intended for men to enjoy. Then here comes the devil. And like I said in the beginning, there were two major events that took place from the beginning. One was the main event of God creation, creating the world. And the second event was when the devil, Lucifer, fell because of pride from the throne. And then he came and interfered with the plan of God on the earth. And the devil thought he was winning. Until all the way when God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die once and for all at the cross, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but inherit everlasting life. So we see there in John 3:16, that's exactly what God said. And then the devil was not done with that. So he started messing again with the Lord Jesus himself. And he came, even you remember, after he got baptized there by John the Baptist at River Jordan, the Spirit of the living God came strong on him. And behold, and in public, with a public address, it was an address where the whole world could hear, God said, "Here is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And the devil heard him, and there in the wilderness, of course, the enemy appeared several times to try to bring him down. But the word of God prevailed. The word of God is the constitution of the government of God, and the government of God is the ecclesia, which is the body of Christ. The devil is trying to force things right now, but his time is not yet, and he will not do anything that is not in the plan of God. In the government of God, he has given ministries. They are according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be teachers, evangelists, pastors, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith. The problem today is the church is not quite in the unity of faith. There is so many backbiting and beating, and this one did, and that one don't believe this, and all that, and we are not united in faith. We have even people, men and women of God, some are teachers, some are prophets, they're bashing each other. But Jesus is not coming for that kind of a church. I'm telling you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for a church without speck or wrinkle. Now, having said that, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses, chapter 11, verses 6, as we talk about the force of faith here. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 6. That was probably a long introduction. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek the Lord. Glory to God. Let me say that again. Faith is what pleases God. The whole creation came into existence by faith. God said and spoke, let there be. And when he said, there was. Let there be oceans. Let there be fish. Let there be trees. Let there be this. It was just the word of God. And the church, the Bible tells me in the gospel, that Jesus Christ has given the church the same authority. All power and authority has been given us. And the Bible declares that you shall decree a thing and it shall take place. In between, before the coming of the Lord, there is a glory coming to help the church get in one rhythm so that Jesus Christ can come back. What is only holding him from coming back? Actually, let me say these things. It's one, the church needs to be prepared. Back to the Isle of Patmos there with John, who was the last disciple of the Lamb. He was 92 years old. God does not care the age. When he is about to do something, he can use even a donkey. He can use even a sheep. He can use a chicken. He can use anything. He can use a tree. Hallelujah. The rock can cry out and praise the Lord while believers are not. But I'm telling you, there is a remnant on the earth. So God appeared to John the Baptist. John the apostle of the last apostle of the Lamb, and told him about the book of Revelation revealed about the heavens. Now, let me explain to you something, and I'm going to get I'm getting into the details, like I said earlier. In the Bible, book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, and Revelation chapter 4, the Bible talks about the other ministry, what is happening right here with the church. The Lord Jesus Christ and God himself revealed to John, who was the last apostle of the Lamb at the age of 92, and saying to the church of he started with Ephesus, to the church of Ephesus, I have this many things to tell you, but you are not quite ready yet. You have lost, left the first love. Then he went back to the church of Sagma. However I pronounce it, that was a persecuted church. And we'll be talking about that in the next broadcast. And then he went back to the church of Pergamos. He went back to he went through all the seven, church of Sardis, church of Philadelphia, church of Laodicea, hallelujah, all the seven churches, and he saw something in those churches. If Jesus Christ and God himself was looking at the body of Christ today from heaven, which is Ecclesia is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had to go through all the churches, he would see something. And he is telling us, prepare. Right now, there are challenges even of COVID-19 on the earth today. And instead of the church, which is Ecclesia, getting united and saying, devil, because we have been given mamuraka, the energy of heaven, the authority of God, instead of going and saying, we are uniting together, and we are saying, COVID-19, you will not in this house and in our property and in our nation and in our land. The church is still divided, pickling and buckling about stuff that don't even matter. But let me explain to you something. The Lokamaka Rabahasha. You can tell I'm fired up here already. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming, but yet there is some work to be done and the church needs to reunite. Now, I am not saying that we are going to come and agree on one thing, but let me explain to you something. This is the final authority. The word of God is the final authority. You can call God whoever you call, yes. I had somebody even try to denounce God on TV. You are just crazy. God is a mighty, awesome God, and he can take your breath just like that. Don't mess with God. Do your business. Do your television things and do everything else, because I know him. And I'm African. I come from Africa. I know him. He has done so much for me. Don't come and say, who is this God, and mock God. Let me explain to you something about the Holy Ghost. You can do everything else, but the sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost and calling God what you think he is, that's out of your scope. And you better leave the creator of heaven alone. You have children and you have a wife and you have all these people and you have no business calling God just something out there. God is your creator and he's the one who has given you that breath. You cannot even terrorize that thing. I cannot even come here and speak here with bashing God. So you stop it. I don't care how much money you are paid. I don't care how much money you have. You cannot call God just anything. God is your creator, and he is the creator of universe. Yes, he is long-suffering, and probably that's why you are breathing right now. And you better make it right before things get rough on you. I am not prophesying that God is going to come smack you down, but you remember Sapphira and Ananias. Listen, they did not even blaspheme God. They just cheated. They said, this is all we have had. We have even people in the body of Christ cheating, telling God, this is all I made, while they made a lot of money. If God was not long-suffering, many of us would be dead because of lying. Oh, hallelujah. Let me get to my subject. Glory to God, because I want to get to this, talking about the force of faith. So I am starting by saying there are people going there preaching as if, you know, this is it. But let me tell you something, what the Lord showed me about the glory. And no man can stand in the way of the glory of God. You hear me? They tried it in the days of Daniel. They tried it in the days of Moses. They tried it in the days of Noah. They tried it in the days of all the prophets in the Old Testament. And even they tried to shut Jesus down by trying to kill him when he was in the manger. But when God is not done with something, ain't nobody that can kill it. Don't Oh, makakara bakashatarama. Nobody can kill what God is about to do on the face of the earth. We're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. We're going to see the glory of God. And after, just like John saw after the Revelation chapter 4, after the church is done, let me tell you, the restraining, what is restraining us on, the, what is restraining this world from coming to an end right now is the launch, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once this church is taken out of there, out of here, you are not going to have a backbone for nothing. You better believe it. God is amazing. But we are in the final hour. We are in the, actually not final hour. We are in the last minute. But remember, one day unto the Lord can be 1,000 years and 1,000 years like under day. I'm not saying we have 1,000 years. I believe we have very few years left. I believe Jesus Christ is really at hand. But in the meantime, the devil, you can tell when Jesus Christ and God is at hand by how the enemy tries so hard to accelerate his attack on the church. And right now he is doing it. He is doing it right here in America. He is doing it around the world. But I am coming to tell you, he is not done. God is not done yet with America. God is not done yet with the church. There is something that the Bakush Kabarakanda Ribroka Beveka Rakashkarabakura Makanto Rashto Brevekere Bakanskele Kanda. Oh, hallelujah. Like I said, the Lord showed me that there are places where he is going to have meetings, and those ambulances going to go to the hospitals, bring people in there, get people from the hospital and get them in there and take them to people who have faith. Hallelujah. Faith pleases God. He is looking for men of faith right now. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, when I come down, will I find faith on the earth? I say, Lord, you'll find it in me. Will he find it in you? Healing. Signs, wonders, and miracles, blind eyes seeing, deaf hearing, lame walking, hallelujah, with very little effort. These are not the times of evangelists, and you have to come here. Okay, try to do this. No, you're going to say, in the name of Jesus, come forth. In the name of Jesus, eyes open. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, yungwabakura makanta, hallelujah. Remember, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, hallelujah. As a matter of fact, when they asked, he says, this is the glory of God. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, you remember the story very well. He did not, oh God, and there tried to pray and fast. There was no time for fasting. There was no time for agonizing and all whining and all that stuff. Jesus went there with boldness. He's called the force of faith, boy. He called that man out of the grave. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And there Lazarus came forth. Okay, what about Jairus' daughter? Jairus then sent for Jesus to come and lay hands on her, on his daughter who was sickly and dying. While Jesus on the way, a faithless man, man without faith, just like now we have Christians and believers who have no faith. You better come on, Katarabahanda. Well, you say, well, how do I get my faith? By reading the word of God. The Bible says in Romans, I believe it's 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you better get on the word of God right now, because I'm telling you, the word of God will cause some faith to come in you. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a God. I started a message here, I believe, last Sunday night, and I was talking about who is this God? Who is this God? I said, yes, he is God full of goodness. He is a God who does not change. I said, he is not, he is a compassionate God. He is a righteous God. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is non-contingent God. He is all-compassionate. He is avenging. He is eternal. He is everywhere. He is everywhere. Hallelujah. He is forever and ever. He is forgiving. He is gracious God. I'm talking about you who on television would have boldness to say you don't care about him. Your breath is being held by him. He is a God who is greater than men. Hallelujah. Your work is so minute. He can just turn a knob right there that you are God. He is incomprehensible. He is infinity. He is invisible. He is generous. He is just in all his judgment. He is light. He is long-suffering. He is love. He is mighty. He is most absolute. He is holy. He is most loving, most wise, and he is very strong. Hallelujah. He is the one who is coming again. Hallelujah. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the ending. Hallelujah. He is our salvation. He is the sustainer of our soul. He is the sustainer of our soul. Let me say that again. He is sustainer of our soul. Hallelujah. He is the Almighty God. He is the Creator. He is the one who created you and me. He is our deliverer. Oh, Makashakata. He is a God who is almighty. Now, why do I have to say all these things and you know them? Let me tell you something, because I am backing up, because I know him. He is a God who is holy, and you cannot bring other small gods with you. As a matter of fact, when Satan thought he was going to come challenge the power of God, he was put to his place. And right now, he is about to get into the hell with his followers who have refused the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just like he was cast, and some of those angels that were like angels of light and trying to do that, they did not know whether they're going to follow God or they're going to follow the devil. Just like today, in some places, some people don't know where to stand for God or stand for the devil. I'm telling you what, I want to stand for God all the way, because at the end, God wins, not the devil. The devil will never win over the church in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You all can tell I'm so fired up right here now, right now. I don't even know how, you know. Okay, now. I want you to open your Bibles right now to, I would say, three passages of scriptures just talking about this. Actually, there are four. I don't know how you're going to open into four passages of scriptures, but I'm going to talk briefly about these four. Luke 9:39, Mark 8:9:39, Mark 9:20, and Matthew 17:15. I'm going to leave those scriptures there for a little bit on the screen for those that would like to write them down. Amen. And again, let me say this again. Oh, shakrambaradabakanda. We are talking about, let me see whether I can bring this up. The force of faith. We are talking about actually the power of faith. But really, it's the force of faith. Now, in this particular around one thing that I would like to talk about for a few minutes that we have. Jesus isn't pleased with his disciples, just like God is not probably pleased with his church. Now, don't get nervous. I'll explain some reasons why. In the above three passages, and I would say this is Luke 9:39, Mark 9:39, and Matthew 17:15. Let's leave Mark 9:20 for a minute. But in those three passages of scripture, we read about a father who and a child was demoniac. And this father came to Jesus asking for mercy for his son. There had been a lot of discussion about the actual condition of the son and his problem. As a matter of fact, Luke's version of a healing event describes the symptoms the boy was experiencing there in Luke 9:35. Remember, Luke was a doctor. Both Luke and Mark attribute the boy's problem as demonic spirit. And there is a demonic spirit on the earth right now, especially with this COVID-19 is thrown on from God. A lot of people say this is a demon. It's a demon spirit. But watch, is about to be busted. In Matthew 17:5, based on Greek translation, The entire family of this boy were moon worshippers. They worshipped other gods. The ancient Greeks believed that a person with epilepsy, or a mental illness was under the influence of the moon. Crazy, yeah? The King James Version of the Bible, written in 1611, translates the Greek word as lunatic. L-U-N-A-T-I-C. I'm coming somewhere. This is a little bit, getting into a little bit of scholar here. And due to the Latin influences on the English language, luna, you notice that is the Latin word for moon. That's why they were moon worshippers. The father also reports to Jesus that his disciples were unable to cure the son. They are in Matthew 17, verse 15. And when the father came and explained, I'm talking about a condition that no man can cure, nobody can help in, only but God. Even Jesus' disciples could not do this. And some things in the earth, even people closest to you can handle it, only but God. I want you to turn your neighbor and say, only but God can do this. How much longer do I have to put up with this? Jesus was speaking these strong words to his disciples, not the great multitude standing by. You can read there in Matthew, Mark chapter 9, verse 14. I have a lot of scripture. Luke chapter 9, verse 37. There's a lot of scriptures. I just don't have time to go to them, okay? And it's obvious that the boy's condition was a difficult condition. As a matter of fact, difficult is underestimating the word. It was impossible for anybody to take care to in the natural. It was impossible in the natural for this boy to be delivered. So the father tells Jesus this thing. Wherever it seizes him, notice he said it, which is demon. Wherever it comes on this boy, it throws him down, it forms at the mouth, it garnishes his teeth, and it becomes rigid. Have you ever tried to deal with a situation? And the more you deal with it, the more aggressive it's like a lot of snake. In Africa, there are those big soul snakes. And the more you try to kind of come close to them, they get more aggressive. They want to bite you. They are winning. They look like they are so violent. All right? Demons can be like that sometimes. And probably that's what's controlling the world right now is that demonic spirit. The devil is a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. So the father says, he often falls in the fire and in the water. And Jesus asked a simple question. Jesus was very patient with them. Has this been happening to him? And the father replied, from childhood. Now, I don't know exactly how old was this boy, right? But from childhood, this boy, the parents have been dealing with that. You may have even a case of your child. From childhood, you don't know what's going on, okay? Now, the father was struggling to have faith due to the longevity and severity of the boy's affliction. Many believers today are struggling in their faith because of seeing so much. Maybe it's your body. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's what's going on the earth right now with this COVID-19 or it's whatever it is, political, whatever it is. Maybe you are struggling. Hallelujah. Jesus saw this. So the father asked Jesus, if you can do anything, I'm just asking you, if you can do anything, please, could you be merciful? And simply heal this boy. We are tired. How many believers today are saying, I am tired. Lord, I'm just tired. I'm tired of going through this. I'm so tired. Faithless generations. We need some muscles. We need some faith. I remember when I was in the continent of Africa and there was Gulf War crazy going on. We could not fly through Saudi Arabia, through certain places because of the fly zones. The aircrafts were being shut down. I'm at the forest in the village and I am seeking the Lord. The Lord says, I'm opening up the airways. I'm opening up. I'm shutting that door down. I'm bringing it down. I'm opening up the airways. I'm opening up the embassy. And you are going to march and go to America because I said it. Not because men said it. I said, oh, God Almighty has spoken. I got bold, boy. But then I went a few places to tell people I'm going soon, and they, you know, like bombs were being thrown on me. I cried, I said, Lord, you told me I'm going soon. I said it, and I've not changed my mind. Do you know God will not change his mind? If there is a glory coming and he has promised the church the glory, and he said that the glory of the latter is gonna be greater than the glory of the former, you wanna tell me we have seen the glory of the latter? Listen, if you are out there and you are not expecting, there is a remnant and there is more than one expecting. Hallelujah. Abraham stood in the gap on behalf of his nephew in Sodom, which were crazy. And he saw the glory of God. If one man can stand in the gap, how about millions and now hundreds of thousands who are standing and saying, we're going to see the glory of God. We're going to see the power of God. We're going to come back. How about all those people? Amen. Back here. Oh, hallelujah. In Mark's gospel. But let me tell you, back to Africa. Do you know what happened? Exactly what God promised. The war subsided. The embassy opened. There was no more war zones. And I landed in the United States. And then the war started again and everything else. I said, they can use their faith. I'm here now. That's why nothing. Listen, I've faced tragedies. I've faced a lot of things. But I also, the Lord has revealed me on every issue why it happened. So if I see people fighting and just casually, why is this not going on? Like my wife now, why is she not there with you? And all these things. I look at them, I say, you don't even know God. I don't disassociate with a lot of people. Because when I come around them, they are like spilling. It's like water, buckets of cold water being thrown on me. I don't need that right now when I'm standing in faith for some things. And that's what you have to do. There are times when Jesus, and even to separate himself away from his own disciples to get some kingdom business done. So he said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. The Father statement of faith, the statement was faith. The Father and the statement of faith, he said, I believe. And let me tell you, the English translation in this passage, according to Greek, actually lexicon Greek, lexicon of Greek ones, pistio, which means to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to credit, to place confidence in. He said, I believe, help my unbelief. Go read there in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. That is a legitimate request for anyone. I believe you, Lord, help my unbelief. So if you are in the status right now where we are in the world, even with this COVID-19, and you don't believe that the devil is a liar and this thing, you know what is wearing this thing and so many people die? actually it's fear, spirit of fear, is being thrown out through the media, is being thrown out by everybody. The spirit of fear is rampant around the world, and the devil is using it, killing people because he wants them to die quickly so they don't hear the gospel, they don't hear the God, Jesus Christ, they don't hear about Jesus Christ, so he can kill all of them, and all they are saying is, all these many people have died. So what? What is the remedy? The church is even joined the song. All these people have died. All these people have died. All these people, men and women of faith, old and young. Oh, look at this. And they are blaming on one person. Let me tell you something. A man is not a problem. The devil is a problem. And the church needs to stand and say, wait a minute. This is not a man who is causing this. This is the devil. It's demoniac. Yes, the devil uses men, and there are people that are being used with this. But let me tell you something. It's coming to an end too. Glory to God forever. Hallelujah. Let me say this. This father had faith, but also had some unbelief. The father at least recognized the unbelief. The problem today is some people, especially ministers of the gospel, they don't acknowledge unbelief. They are cowarding. They are actually now siding with the devil, demonic. You better not side with the devil. You're going to go to hell. You've been preaching here 50, 40, 60 years, and then finally you're going to coward and just say, I don't know about this God. Some are hiding in the caves. I tell you, come out of your caves and know that your God is an awesome and mighty God. Amen? Glory to God forever. Shakamarada, Lord, Shikamarabakata. Ribro Baba, I pray for you right now. Your faith will be regenerated. Your faith may rise, that you don't ever coward and fall victim like Eve did at the garden and lost everything God had for them. Some would say that the disciples failed to heal, because remember, he had taken this same thing to the disciples that could not do anything. But some say they failed to heal the boy because their usual methods of healing weren't working. Actually, they were working well. The disciples had been having great success in casting out devils. You go read. And healing people, Mark chapter 6, verse 13, Luke chapter 9, verse 6, and Luke chapter 10, verse 17. But what the disciples needed is they needed to have faith or confidence to remove the mountain or problem for the boy to receive his healing. That was the only issue. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, if thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatever you say. Do you hear me, church? Do you hear me, brother, my sister? You shall have whatever you say. You shall decree a thing, it shall come to pass. Times of begging and trying to pat everybody, it's over. You get back into the faith. You get the word of God, believe this word of God, and what God says will come to pass. It shall come to pass. That's why I've disassociated myself with some things. Not because I'm better than anybody, I have weaknesses too. But people spitting and believe and doubt. And people are not even knowing what God is doing on the earth today. They are not in rhythm with the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, I said this before and I'll say it again. Until you stop depending on the information knowledge of this world and start depending on revelation knowledge, which means comes thrown heart from heaven, from the kingdom of God, hearing the voice of God because you have been in the secret place. The Bible says those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They shall say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my buckler. The Bible says in John, that was Psalms 91. But John 15:7 says, we say that was Old Testament. What about John 15:7? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you need and it shall be given unto you. Glory to God. You decree to the mountain. The disciples needed faith to speak to the mountain. This demoniac was a mountain thing. And it can only be done in the realms of the spirit. Let me say about fasting, because a lot of people say, well, I'm going to go and fast and all this and go on 21, 40 days. Yeah, you go on 40 days and you can come out just as a bigger doubter than you are. Rather not even started. No, I'm not bashing, okay? I'm not bashing fasting. But there are so many people who have a trust in their fasting. I was up in the mountain for 40 days. So what happened now? You come expecting all this unbelief after 40 days of fasting. You did nothing. The devil used you up. Fasting, food, doesn't move God. You hear me? We started by saying there, Hebrews 11, what? Let me say, fasting, food doesn't move God. It moves you. Faith moves God. Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it's impossible to please him. Fasting, food, takes you out of the natural realm and helps you to be sensitive to the spiritual realm of God. Can I say that again? What the fasting does, it takes you from the natural realm into the spiritual realm so you can hear the revelation knowledge. John was in the island of Patmos and he was in prayer and then he saw. It was in the realms of the spirit. You cannot see, you cannot hear anything from God when you are in the realms of the flesh. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eyes has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of men. The things that God has prepared for those that love him, but they are revealed to them by who? By the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the revealer of the will and the plan of God. So those things that eyes has not seen, the plans that God has for the church, even before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are revealed by the Holy Ghost. How do you get the revelation knowledge? By spending time in the presence of God, by abiding in the presence of the Lord, so that the Lord can download. Hallelujah. That's why many prophetic voices, the men that spent time in the presence of the Lord, don't even have to watch the news to know what's going on. They only watch it to see the crookedness of the devil and what his schemes is, so they can take it to God in prayer, but not to watch it so they can feel themselves and say, oh my gosh, what's going on now? No. It's the information to help you get into the realms of God. Take that information into the throne room of God and say, this is what they say is going on, but the Lord, I'm telling you, is God. What can I do now in 5 minutes or less than 5 minutes? So fasting forces your flesh to submit to your spirit man. And God, when you submit to your spirit man, man is a spirit. He lives in a body and he possesses a soul. And when you submit to your spirit man, there is something that goes on there. You become a man who lives and is only moved by the word of God. Because fasting now will be applicable, because it will make you submit your spirit man. So some of you right now, you need to tell your body to line up with the word of God and it will obey. Your soul, your spirit man has to be dominant. It will dominate your body or fallen flesh. But in order for your spirit man to dominate your flesh, you have to spend time in the presence of the Lord. That's how that's going to happen. A lot of people are thinking it's going to church more often. It's going this more often. No. Get in the word of God and pray in the Holy Ghost. If you have to pray in the Holy Ghost all night long, because the Holy Spirit knows what is the mind and the will and the heart of God. Some of you need to shut some people off, even preachers off, and get in the presence of God with the word of God and start decreeing what thus says the Lord. And then shall you see the glory of God. The preaching of the gospel has been so shallow in the body of Christ, not even funny, but things are changing. Prayer does one thing. Prayer disciplines your flesh to submit to your spiritual man. It all leads to the spirit man. You pray to God, who you cannot see, hear, taste, smell, and touch. So what prayer does? It trains your flesh to submit to your spiritual man. Prayer and fasting are spiritual disciplines, so to say. I have to pick it up and take it to the next level, because you are going to see the healing power of God flow through Jesus, and it will flow through you to this boy. And what was declared impossible became possible. Because why? All things are possible with God to those that believe. Do you have a condition like this boy? Do you have a condition like this boy? Head. Right now, I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, all things are possible with you to those that believe. I decree and declare in that home, that condition. It may be health. It may be demoniac attack. Whatever job situation. And in the authority of Jesus' name, everything I command you and I release it from the throne room of God. The Bible says when Jesus was asked, "How do we pray?" And you saying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I pray your kingdom come in that home. Thy will of healing. Healing is the children's bread. The Bible says, "By your stripes we are healed." I decree healing virtue, healing anointing into this home right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I decree alignment financially right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I call those things that are not as though they are. And I decree right now, the peace of God. Some of you have lost peace. Receive the peace of God. It is well. And Jesus is rebuilding his God. So in Jesus' name, now you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't like to end our broadcast without giving you an opportunity to receive him. He is the King of glory. Now say this after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I realize I'm a sinner. I've been full of unbelief. I doubted you from the beginning in my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Thank you for writing my names in the book of life. And thank you for receiving me today. I give you all the praise and all the glory, because you are an awesome, mighty God. And I love you, Lord Jesus, for doing it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You pray that prayer. He has come to live inside of you. Just decree it. See it come to pass. All things are possible with God to those that believe. It is well, and God is not done. Don't be moved by what you see, what you feel, or anything.
Hello, and welcome back.
Living God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless
again
you.
To our see broadcast, where we are talking about the force of faith. My name is Patrick Nyaga, and God bless you, and we're going to just jump right in. Hallelujah. Because you're going to be very blessed by this, as you even open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. And we are going to start reading from verses, let's say, verses 37. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll let you open your Bibles. But again, we are talking about the force of faith. And let me, while you're opening the Bible, introduce you by saying this in Hebrews 11, verses 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In the previous broadcast, we have been talking about the power of God and who God is. That God is a mighty, awesome creator, redeemer, still alive and well. Simply because things are not going your way does not mean that God died. God is still on the throne. And by the way, great things are happening. I always say this, that there is more activities in the realms of the spirit than there is in the natural realm. A lot of people are so much dependent on the natural realm, but the natural realm actually is nothing comparable to what happens in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. So I am just going to read some scriptures here for you, and from Luke chapter 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 37. Luke chapter 9, verse 37. I am not sure. Yeah. Well, Yeah, the Bible talks several scriptures. Yeah, it says up to 39, Luke 9, 39, but I'm actually going to read starting from verse 37. And it came to pass that the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of a company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, the spirit taketh him, and suddenly cried out, and it teareth him, that he formeth again, and bruising him, hungry departed from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And so Jesus, verse 41, now I'm already past 39, so I'm in verse 41 of Luke chapter 9. And Jesus answered, saying, O faithless generation, or faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer for you? Bring thy son here. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his child. And they were all amazed. The Bible says in verse 43, when the Lord does something, people, you watch what God is about to do on the face of the earth, people will say, oh my gosh. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, let this saying sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. And they understood not. Now, I'm talking here, and I'm going to be talking much about something here on this series, or you call it second part of the broadcast, on dealing with the mountain or problem in your life. Again, we apply the force of faith. A lot of people don't understand this, but I understand faith well. And what Jesus meant when he said, all power and authority has been given to the church or to us who unbelieve. The devil is never and will never win over God. He tried his thing there on the throne and was cast down, so he tried to mess up with men and we could not make it, and he's trying to do it. This is the final hour, all right? His tail is going to be all gathered out and coiled and thrown in the lake of fire to forever and ever. Now, back to this story, and Jesus recognized here and dealt with the mountain or the problem. Jesus saw that this was a problem, not with the mother or father. Yeah, they could not have much faith here, but here his devil was also the third party, actually was more involved in this. Remember, John 10:10, the Bible says, it is the devil that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus is come that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, the problem was a demonic spirit. See, we as believers and Christians today need to identify the source of the problem first. Until you identify the source of the problem, how are you going to deal with it? Until you know why you are getting broke and you have no money every time and you are getting paid, you have to, is it my overspending? What is it that is happening that I cannot hold money? Is it that I'm robbing God? I'm not even honoring God with my giving? Some of you are not. That's not my subject today, okay? Because some people will say, there comes the preacher with the money now. What's the problem with the church today? The church people even saying that. At least we can forgive the heathen for saying that. But the church, every time they offer it, here it goes, the money again. You have an issue with giving to God, then you have an issue, and you are saying, oh, Lord, I need a breakthrough. I didn't break it off financially. That was not even in my sermon. Let's get to the subject matter here. Glory to God.
So Jesus here recognized the root of the problem was not anything else, was not even the disciples, was not anything, but the root of the problem was the devil, okay? Now, let me explain this. Jesus did not cast the demonic spirit every time somebody was brought to him to be healed. Jesus did not cast every demonic component. But this was a different scenario. Because the demonic spirit here was even so aggressive, it tried to manifest in front of Jesus Christ, just like today. We got people mocking the Lord left and right, including Christians now. They cannot even stand on their own faith. Oh, where is God? God ain't dead. All right. The demonic spirits are so aggressive, they don't care. You can even be in a church service preaching out there. Preachers, you can be out there in the pulpit, and the demon don't care whether you are preaching, whatever you are doing. The demons are so aggressive. And if the church can be as aggressive as demonic world, we will have this thing wrapped up, and Jesus would have come, and we get out of here to the glory. So, I don't want to go ahead of myself, but the demonic spirit even tried to distract Jesus by causing the boy to have conversion while Jesus trying to talk with the Father. In other words, Jesus is trying to get some faith in the parents, but the devil here is trying to act up. We were in a meeting with an evangelist in South Africa one day, I remember. We went to South Africa on this meeting, his healing crusade with this evangelist, great man of God. God uses him mightily. And he's out there preaching. And here there are two ladies sitting on the, I believe there was on the right side. There is the podium. And the demons are manifesting. They are throwing themselves. They are wailing. And they about three ushers, I was an usher in that meeting. About three ushers tried to come hold them. They were being thrown like popcorns. This, and they were skinny. They were little women. But they had so, the demon had so much energy, he was throwing him. So I said, I ain't going over there alone. Hey, don't look at me, preacher. Just send some ushers over there because everybody was being thrown out. Yeah, the demons can have that kind of power. But the thing is, I also did not realize how much power I have. I have the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and everything. Boy, I should have gone there bold to say, in the name of Jesus. Finally, the preacher left whatever he was doing, and he went down there, and he said, did you know it took them an hour? It took him an hour to get those things cast out. There were not only one, there were many. You know, the demons can come in numbers to outweigh whatever. All of a sudden, it's one thing, then it's another one. Then all of a sudden, it's like lions. If you watch the Animal Planet or whatever in the safari, all these places, when one lion comes to attack a buffalo, then all of a sudden, all the lions come and the buffalo has no chance than to submit. Well, that's what happened. Christians are trying to stand in their faith, but then there is attack from the left, from the and then all of a sudden they just are, I'm giving up. Don't you ever give up. Don't you let the devil, you know? Jesus wasn't perplexed like the disciples were. So he calmly talks to the Father. Even while the child was having a seizure in front of him or in front of them, Jesus, the father, and the mother. There were four. Jesus, the mother, the father, and the child. Maybe some disciples were there. We are not told. There in Matthew 17:18, it says this. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Glory to God. Jesus did not have time to go into fasting and praying. Yeah, there's a problem with the church today. Anything that happens and we Oh, let's now pray hard and go on to fasting and praying about this thing. We should have been prepared before. The devil looms around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if you find your house filled with the worship and the word of God going on and bless the Lord, you say no weapon formed again. No, he's going to try to come in because he's aggressive, just like that demonic spirit of Caesar was trying to manifest himself just to show Jesus that he got power. He got power, nothing. Jesus said, no! And that's what Jesus is saying right there, right now. Glory to God. So now, in this case, it was a demonic spirit. Actually, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not do that? Because it was obvious from the statement that the disciples had come and some understanding of this principle. They had an understanding about casting out devils, but yet they could not do it. So they came and asked Jesus, how come we could not do it? All right? Jesus had been training the disciples for several years in the principles or in these matters of healing and deliverance. The disciples did not ask Jesus why they could not heal the boy, but why they could not cast out the devil. We need to understand the scripture and divine it accurately. Let me say that again. The question was not about healing the boy. Probably the disciples could heal the boy. The question, why could they not cast the demon out? They lacked Jesus' confidence in this area. How do we know they lack confidence? Based on Matthew 17, verse 20. We know they lack confidence because Jesus said their problem there in Matthew, in Matthew 17, verse 20, their problem was unbelief. The unbelief was not only with the parents, it was also the problem with the disciples. And you know there's so much unbelief. The church is embalmed with unbelief right now. You know, I'm standing for my wife and all the things to take place and all those things. And we got people that's why I'm just not showing up in some places. They are like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Nothing. God spoke to me about my precious wife, and I went 9,000-10,000 miles to get that woman by the Spirit of the Lord. And then God is going to come and say, you know what? I didn't mean it. God is, come on now. Come on now, please. I know him better than that. Oh, God is working everything out. The Bible says, and having all that you have done, all you know to do, stand therefore. Come on, let's be on the side of God, not on the side of the devil, okay? Whew, let me get to this. You know, it's something on me about when I talk about faith, because I guess I know him so much in this area. All right? The actual Greek word Jesus used here was epistia. Word pistos, because faith has the word pistos, means without. The disciples were literally without faith or confidence in this area. Faith failures caused the doubt and unbelief. As a matter of fact, James 1:6, Matthew 21:21, Mark 11:23, Matthew 17:21 all talks about the unbelief issue. Jesus gave us unbelievers instructions
on what to do when a mountain or a problem hinders or stops a believer's faith. And therefore, it is believers' responsibility to do the following. Number one, to believe that you receive when you pray. Not as I said, when you pray, not when you see it, when you feel it, when you touch it. So a lot of believers are waiting to feel it, to touch it. Just, I believe now. Finally, I believe. This is the cup. Oh, there's water inside. It's not wine. It's not soil. It's water. It's really clean. It looks clean. It doesn't have debris. So I believe it's water. But if God said there was water in there, drink it. You know, when Jesus turned water into wine, the disciples had a problem trying to serve the water according to the word of God. And the church has a problem when God says, declare it, by his stripes you are healed. You don't wait to see the healing manifestation. You don't wait to see, now I'm healed now. Let me do. No, the church has a problem. They don't believe, they want to see it first. Even Thomas, doubting Thomas, says, unless I see the nail that went through his whatever and all that, I shall not believe. The church is like doubting Thomas is right now. But God wants us to be. Amen? So, number one, I'm talking about three things here. Jesus that gave us the instruction. When we are faced with a mountain that hinders us from receiving the answer. If you have a mountain right now in your home that is hindering you, here's what Jesus said. Number one, you believe that you receive when you pray, not when you see it. Mark chapter 11, 24, Matthew 21, 22. Number two, once you believe, you speak to the mountain or the problem you have. That means you rebuke, you give the direction to the problem and cast out the problem from your body or circumstance or environment. You cannot speak to the mountain, you cannot speak to your problem until you have believed God's word. Until you have, listen, you need to spend time in the word of God so faith can rise in you to believe what he says. That when you believe what he says, you shall decree a thing and it shall take place. The problem today is people are not spending time with God. So when situations rise and things happen, no faith. So they start saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Do you know even the devil can say in the name of Jesus? No. Even says in the name of Jesus. You know, there is so much cuss word even in Hollywood. Jesus, 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 nothing. Are you talking about Jesus I know? Or is this your Jesus with a small J? By the way, it's not just Jesus, it's Jesus Christ. Because the anointing is there. It's anointing, glory to God, that destroys every yoke, not the name only. Yes, there's power in the name of Jesus when used appropriately. But don't use the name in vain. Well, people now, they curse and they use them. Jesus. Jesus. Number three. You have to say what you want to come to pass into existence, not what you are seeing. A lot of people are speaking what they are seeing instead of speaking what they want God to do. Oh boy, did you see that? Boy, it looks bad. Look, the eyes are getting bigger and bigger. Did you see the nose? Oh man, I don't know. He's turned pale. He's turned pale. He's turned pale. He's about to die. Help us, Lord Jesus, please. And yes. No, you have to declare. It does not matter what it looks like. You have to declare and say, it does not matter what the doctor says. It does not matter what it looks like. The word of God said, and the word of God is the final authority. I believe the word in Jesus' name. So you have to say what you want to come to pass into existence. Chikanama, Matthew or Mark chapter 11:23, it shall be done. Jinomai. According to God's word, Matthew 21:21 says, woman of great faith, let it be unto you as you desire. Talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus and the centurion, go thy way, and that was as thou was believed, be it done unto thee. God is looking for a man and a woman of faith. And when you declare, I have that job, my child shall serve the Lord. Don't let the devil come tomorrow because your child came, your son came drunk. Oh, so drunk. Or brought some girls or women in the house. And oh, Lord Jesus, who is that now? No, it doesn't matter if they bring 10 women. You keep declaring, my son will serve the Lord. My son shall serve the Lord. And these all demonic things I speak to you in the name of the Lord, adulteries, fornication, you get out of my house in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew, glory to God. So Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. Now, let me talk a little bit before we close on religious talks, traditions, and doctrines of men. Before we went to pastor in Tampa, the Lord spoke to me, says there are many religious spirits, and there are many traditions. The churches are full of traditions and religion and doctrines of men. As a matter of fact, rebellion, it was three things, religious spirit, traditional spirit, and rebellious spirits. And I have seen all of them. As a matter of fact, people just come and go, and I know what it is. They are either possessed by traditions, or you don't do things the way we always do them here. Well, yeah, I am not, because I'm not them. Then rebellious spirit, they don't want to submit. As soon as you give them responsibilities, they do it have heartedly. They don't want to do it. And some of them, just, they talk their talk, but their doctrines is worked out, especially when it comes to the doctrines regarding the prophetic word and all kinds of stuff, guy hand God. Some of them hear demons. Do you know demons speak? Let me get to this. So I want to address about the religious talks, traditions, and doctrines. If you listen to some religious people, you might think that the power of God to cast out demons or for miracles is not for the church today. They would conclude Jesus saying something like this to his disciples. I want you to listen carefully. On this special dispensation is starting to pass away. I always told you that you had better make the most of this unique time in history, because it will not last long. You are already seeing the diminishing effects of the supernatural authority and power to cast out devils. It's just waiting away. Went with Catherine Kuhlman's and A.A. Allen and Smith Wigglesworth, but that thing is no longer. It's just diminishing. It's just going away, so don't even bother. To heal the sick and miracles like Smith Wigglesworth, you are crazy. Those things, man, were gone. God was waiting for Smith Wigglesworth and people like Lester Sumner and all them people to do that, and that's it. I guess I had better heal this one myself. Talking about Jesus, talking, let me deal with this devil, because we are not going to have such things anymore. I am God and you are just humans, you know. So a lot of people say that. Well, that was Jesus. I'm just a human being. Right. Heavenly Father doesn't want you getting used to this supernatural power. This is the way demons are talking to a lot of people. And it's probably not the will of the Heavenly Father to heal the boy anyway. Look at all the lessons these other fathers learned about this his life. This demon has been there since the childhood of this boy. Those are heavy lessons, aren't they? He has learned to treat burns and victims and rescue downloading and put the bandages when they get hit the hand on the or their nose on the stone. He has learned many lessons on time management to keep up with this boy so he doesn't throw himself in the fire. Those are the lessons we need to learn. Don't bother the demon. I think what the Father is doing by asking you is he is just demonstrating selflessness to ask you or me to heal his son. Because he really should not ask. He should not ask to get out of this situation because he is still learning so much from this situation. Well, I have my child here in demon, and maybe God has just brought this child in my household or give me this child so I can learn lessons from this child. You know what you're doing? You are giving that demon spirit more time to spend in your house and eat your dinner. He doesn't know that one day in the sweet by and by, he and his son will understand all the reasons they had to go through the suffering. Not to mention, I have reviewed the father's and son's record in heaven, and they aren't worthy, they are not worthy the healing. Let them suffer. I'm also concerned that the father might think he can demand things and develop an insolent attitude. I believe his son's affliction will keep him humble. But in any rate, I'm going to heal the boy today so that everyone here will know that I am the Messiah and fulfill the prophecy. The demons can talk too. But don't keep expecting the experience. Don't keep expecting to experience healing, deliverance, or miracles in the future, because this is it. And especially, boy, when I'm out of here, it ain't gonna happen again. You all need to realize that in about 20 centuries from now, I raise up some special people who will discover how to control the symptoms of epilepsy through medicine. So when you have epilepsy and you have all these diseases, you just go to the doctor and they'll just give you a dose like corona and give you a dose to control them. So you will keep paying the money because you can't speak anything because those days of healing are over, done away with. The devil is a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. This is not what Jesus saying to his disciples. Jesus saying to the disciples, if your faith, there in Matthew 7:20, if your faith is a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible with you. Nothing will be impossible with you. It is the hour and a moment for the church. Now, more than ever before, to rise to the occasion by the power of the Holy Ghost and perform signs, wonders, and miracles as we have been commanded by the instruction manual, the constitution of the government of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. You are wonderful and mighty Redeemer. And I bless you and I honor you. Thank you for the listeners. Thank you for building their faith. And I pray for you that your faith will not fail. Right now, in the midst of these challenges, understand this. God is working and he's doing a mighty work. Say, Lord, let it be here on earth as it is in until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Occupy till he comes. Amen. Now, if you have not received Jesus Christ, we don't like to end our broadcast without giving you an opportunity. Say this after me, very quickly. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Thank you for writing my names in the book of life. Thank you, Father, that you are the Lord and Savior of my life. And from today on, I live for you forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for receiving me today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, he has come to live inside of you. God bless you. Until next time, he is so good and awesome. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.